Most of President Obama's speech focused more broadly on the Middle East and North Africa and how his administration is responding to the popular unrest there.
So in the months ahead, America must use all our influence to encourage reform in the region. Even as we acknowledge that each country is different, we need to speak honestly about the principles that we believe in with friend and foe alike. Our message is simple. If you take the risks that reform entails, you will have the full support of the United States.
That again, President Barack Obama speaking this afternoon at the U.S. State Department. Rami Khoury is director of the Public Policy Institute at the American University in Beirut. He writes a syndicated column. He's writing it today, in fact. What's your headline, Rami?
My headline is that Obama is making historic rhetoric that can be profoundly important and powerful, but that will depend on whether the rhetoric gets translated into action, but it's a good start.
Okay, the action that that at least your audience in the Arab world would be looking for would be what?
To speak about these principles he articulated to friend and foe alike, as he said. So to tell the Saudis the same thing you tell the Syrians. The other important thing is his use of the word self-determination, the phrase self-determination. This is unbelievably important. Woodrow Wilson articulated that phrase in many ways around 1920. And he talked about the self-determination of peoples, and Obama is now talking about the self-determination of individuals and the security of nations. So this is really profound stuff if it is actually going to drive American policy, because this is what this revolt is all about. This is citizens putting into action the principle of the consent of the governed. And for him to acknowledge that is really, really important. But he's got to go beyond the rhetoric, and he didn't do that after Cairo 2 years ago.
Going beyond the rhetoric would mean what?
Well, it makes a difference if you speak out once a week about the bad things that governments are doing in Bahrain or Syria or Libya, then just to speak that out day after day is important. The second thing is to align your practical policies, your military assistance, your economic aid, your UN votes. And the third thing is to be consistent. You know, if freedom really is indivisible, as the American credo says, well, it must be indivisible to the freedom of the Palestinians as it is to the freedom of the Syrians and the Bahrainis and the Libyans.
If this was indeed a historical opportunity, as the president said, is the perception in the Arab world that the U.S. is making the most of this opportunity that the Arab Spring provides and that it's not doing it just to suit its own purposes?
I think there were some important new positions here that were redefined, maybe reconfigured. So I think the opportunity is there. The Arabs have to step up now and respond in equal magnitude. I think we should give the Americans the kind of positive, hopeful rhetoric that we just got from Obama today. This is not an American responsibility. This is an Arab spring. It's not an American spring.
We'll look forward to seeing your column. Rami Khoury, director of the Public Policy Institute at the American University in Beirut, speaking to us from New York. Thanks a lot, Rami.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You can take part in an online conversation about President Obama's speech today. Join in at theworld.org. You can also follow The World's Matthew Bell on Twitter as he tweets reaction in the Middle East. Matthew is at Matthew J. Bell. A journalist for Al Jazeera got an up-close and personal insight into the Syrian crackdown. Dorothy Parvaz arrived in the capital, Damascus, on April 29th to cover the anti-government protests in Syria, but she was detained in a prison. And Parvaz says that for the next 3 days, she heard the same sound over and over again.
All I hear is men being beaten to within an inch of their lives, crying out. I was handcuffed repeatedly, blindfolded, taken to a courtyard, left to hear these men being beaten. They all sounded very young. They sounded to be in their late teens, early 20s. So it was an overall terrifying experience.
Dorothy Parvaz says that she doesn't know what kind of answers the prison guards were expecting, but all they got was, swear to God, no, no, or please stop.
At a certain point, you want to cover your ears. You don't want to hear it anymore because it becomes that much. I mean, it seemed endless. Mid-morning to late into night, at random times, you would hear just beatings and screams and cries, and you want to cover your ears, but someone should hear these people. Someone should understand what they're going through. And if we all cover our ears, it seemed to me that Syria just wants everyone to cover their ears.
Parvaz was deported to Iran. Her fiancé says that she was put in solitary confinement and questioned, but he says she was treated respectfully. Dorothy Parvaz is now in Qatar. She says she's feeling fine.